Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Bill Hubbard here is here too, ladies and gentlemen. William S. Hubbard. Two B's, two T's. He's our good friend. We call him Mr. Excitement around here. He's our outstanding human resources expert, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, also The Medical Privacy Rule, and on and on. He's an outstanding writer on issues of dealing with our the human beings we work with and who work for us, and how to make sure that they stay happy and we stay happy with them, and that everybody's privacy is protected, but that the company is protected too. And as I said before, he's our good friend now in his ninth year with the Small Business Advocate Show. Bill Hubbard, welcome back to the show.
Boy, that's a big pair of shoes to step into.
Yeah, well, they're your shoes, Bill. You can feel those.
Yeah.
It's good to have you here, Bill. And I know you want to talk about telecommuting today. My friend Jeffrey Zabar wrote a book called Teleworking and Telecommuting. And I'll tell you, Bill, this with the new technology and the new telecommunications capabilities, and people understanding the reality of how people actually work, even when they're in the same building, mm-hmm. telecommuting has really become a very viable and very important way to do business, isn't it?
It really has. The focus of this particular topic, as we've kind of planned it out, is talking about the employer and the employee relationship. And yet, as you're kind of describing the introduction, I'm also thinking that all of us who are independent contractors and mm-hmm. are self-employed individuals, many of us are in fact telecommuting as well, working right. from our homes and offering our services to the clients that we do work for. So it can go both ways. It can go for the small business person who works from home, and likewise, as our focus would be in talking about it, to deal with the employer and the employee relationship as well.
Well, 20 years ago, if a really key person had an illness, mm-hmm. maybe they broke a leg or they had some, they had to stay home for whatever reason, they had a sick child or a parent or some family member, or maybe they just didn't want to come to work. They wanted to do something else. And they were so critical, such a key person, then that person just basically, the company just had to do without them, and they just wandered off, and I guess if they were sick, maybe they got to come back later on, but if they got well. But today, any of those scenarios doesn't have to mean that the relationship is severed, does it?
No, it doesn't, especially for certain kinds of jobs. There's so many more things with our advanced electronic communication now that the physical location of where the work activity is being performed does not make that much difference, whether they're down the hall, down the street, or down the highway in the next community. So a lot of these activities can be performed off-site and very effectively meet client needs and customer needs and interdepartmental needs as well.
Between laptops and high-speed internet connections and the ability to move information around quickly and conveniently and efficiently, any manager, Bill, in my opinion, that doesn't get prepared for a teleworking opportunity, a teleworking option, or who any is, in my opinion, is not being a wise manager. And any manager who has resisted their employees, trying to help their employees out or giving their company extra options through teleworking and telecommuting, in my opinion, is not wise.
I would agree with that. The thing I recognize is that the resistance is oftentimes due to the concern about control.
Yeah.
And how do we make sure the employee is doing what they're supposed to be doing? How do we know they're not rolling out of bed at 10 o'clock in the morning and getting their cup of coffee and playing their video games instead of getting on the system and doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. So that's one of the main concerns that a lot of employers have conveyed to me in terms of, well, I don't know, I'd rather have them in here where I can keep track of them. It's hard enough to keep them busy as it is. And if they're home, then who knows what's going to be going on. So that's one of the main employer concerns. But
the thing is, though, Bill, you know, what's interesting is how many of those managers aren't even on the same floor with their employees?
That could well be.
I mean, how many to ask, the question I ask them is, in a given in any given week, how many times do you actually see that person face-to-face?
That's true. In any, whether on the same floor, different floor, where in the plant or in the office or on the store, those are the issues. And really what it comes back to is if that manager is that concerned about what the employee's output is, then the manager needs to set up performance guidelines, performance standards, work accountability issues that define what the output is going to be and monitor that activity, whether the employee's inside or off-site. So that's the key concern that I would suggest to, that, to those managers.
Absolutely. No question about it. You know, Bill, in my career, I have worked with one of the largest, as a great example, one of the largest companies on the planet. And I don't think I've ever, and I've worked with dozens of people in that corporation, and probably only about 10% of the people I work with, I have worked with, over, you know, when I worked with them, were actually in an office of that corporation. Mm-hmm. They were home. They were working from home. And these people were vice presidents.
There's a lot of that that goes on. There's a lot of it that in many instances it's been going on for years. One of the most common things I see is firms that have a national sales force, but they're located in one part of the country, and typically their field salespeople are individuals in a community that's covering a given territory, working from their home. And very effectively getting results done and coordinating activities, getting orders in, and dealing with the customers. So it certainly demonstrates that it can be done when there's some discipline to the process and some control set up to make sure that the work activity is being performed properly.
You know, Bill, I was a teleworker, a telecommuter in the 70s. From 76 to 82, I was a teleworker, a telecommuter, you could say, for Xerox.
Okay.
When I worked for Xerox, I managed the territory, but my boss and the company office was an hour away from me. I had my own office in my own home. It was a regular business office, and I operated out of there for 6 years. Worked like a charm. Every day I was by 8 o'clock I was in my office in my suit, ready to go. Stand by, quick break 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Bill Hubbard and I will be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. A little Stones for you there. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Bill Hubbard is our guest. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and Bill Hubbard is all over our website. I don't know how many dozens, probably hundreds of pieces of hundreds. I'm sure there are hundreds of evidence of Bill on our website through the archives he's deposited with us over the years, the articles he's allowed us to republish on our website over the years, and all the things that he's done for us. Bill, we thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, and glad to provide some support and help for small business people that need some direction and need a place to go.
Absolutely, but they can also go to your website. Why don't you give that to us, please?
Well, they're always welcome. Hubbart.com, and that's HUBBART.com, and there's resources for related to human resources and some of the books that I've done and consulting services that we provide as well.
And I encourage you to take advantage of the consulting services, the virtual services that Bill is very good at doing. So if you have a question, you know, don't take advantage of him, folks. That's how he makes a living. But use him to your advantage, and I think you'll find it to be a good relationship. Bill, we're talking about teleworking and telecommuting. You know, there was something that happened there was an event that happened, and I don't want to make something sound like, you know, some people say, well, there's something good comes out of everything bad. Mm-hmm. Well, 911 did more to kick teleworking and telecommuting into high gear than anything else. Because when all those people were displaced from downtown Manhattan, from lower Manhattan, they went back home with their laptops, and that's where they were told to work. You know, their bosses said, well, I don't have a place for you to go now, so go home and we'll work through our laptops. So many managers that heretofore would not have thought about letting their people work, you know, 50 or 60 miles away at home, were compelled to do that. And so here's the phone call I'm imagining, Bill, that happened. You know, a year later, 9 months later, whenever they found new offices for those companies, they called the people up and said, okay, you can come back. We got your place to work now. And the employee said, uh-uh. Nuh-uh. Hello. How have things been going for the last 9 months? Well, they've been going pretty good. Well, guess what? This is my new world. This is how I work now. You know, heck with it, with the commuting, heck with it, with the subway, heck with the train and parking my car and catching a train and then taking a bus and a cab and everything else into lower Manhattan. I like it here in Sheboygan. Or not Sheboygan, it wouldn't be. It would be in Hoboken is what I meant to say. Sure. I like it here in Hoboken, a White House or wherever.
I got a 20-second commute down the hall and around.
Exactly. As Beverly Williams says in her book, 30-second commute. That's it, 30-second commute. So that hundreds of thousands, Bill, did that after 911.
And oftentimes that's kind of how this activity starts, where it's maybe not as significant as that event was, but something happens that causes an individual to be out of the office or causes the office not to allow the individual to come in. Maybe it's a power outage or a storm or some kind of event occurs, and yet there's still a need to get something done. And the individuals respond to the circumstance, and, well, I've got my computer at home, I can do this, I can do that. And the things do get done, and all of a sudden, through some retrospective examination, the thought is, well, gee, hey, that wasn't so bad. We still got our things done, we got the quality out, we got the work done on time, and we took care of the customer needs. So a lot of jobs can lend themselves to this type of activity. So one of the keys is to identify which jobs in the organization can we work this way, and to set up some basic guidelines that allow for this to occur in some consistent way and allow for some reasonable measurement of the results getting done.
Bill, what do you think about the employer requesting to see the workplace where these people are going to work?
I think that's an essential element, because the employer now has basically a legal responsibility to ensure that the employee is working in a safe workplace, because
And not only safe, but efficient and effective.
All of those aspects, because the employer is going to be having an accountability for the systems and the processes that are being used, because it's now part of, in a sense, an informal or formal workplace. So the employer does have an accountability there, and for that reason, that it is important to play a role in making sure that some basic standards are met in terms of connectivity and safety and efficiency and so that the information that goes back and forth. Protecting confidentiality is one of the bigger concerns now. We've had a couple of instances with government laptops being lost or stolen. And I think you and I were personally affected
Mine and your records were in those VA laptop, I think, Bill.
Yes, they were. And I got one of those letters. So that certainly demonstrates the need to reflect proper, sound procedures and protecting confidentiality. Mm-hmm. For the information, whether it's in the office or whether it's in the home office, and being transmitted back and forth between the two locations.
Bill, quickly, in 30 seconds, do we have liability if the person gets hurt, if they slip and fall in their own house? Like, if they slip and fall in our office, we have liability, and our insurance covers that. If they slip and fall or something happens to them in their own home, are we liable for that?
If they're there performing a work activity on work time, then certainly there's going to be a workers' compensation liability, mm-hmm. and very likely there could be a safety concern as well.
It gets stickier and stickier, doesn't it?
It does.
But it's a good idea, though, folks. It's a very, and let me tell you something. You're not going to stop this, folks. It's going to become more and more part of our world. Hey, Bill Hubbard, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Always glad to be a part of the group.
Hubbert, 2B's2T's.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break. Right back with our good friend John Fox right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.